This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Isn't it a shame that this kind of thing has come up? It's what the Bible calls an abomination.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Actor Jim Carrey got into a Twitter feud this week with the granddaughter of Benito Mussolini. Because that's just the kind of thing that happens now, and we all have to accept it. News at this point is just a string of unrelated words, like Elon Musk releases Harambe rap. For this actual headline I read today, disabled chicken who survived weasel attack learning to walk thanks to custom wheelchair. Guys, just eat the chicken.
Now, let the guy in your ear talk.
Is that one talking in my ear?
Okay.
And now.
If you want to climb that, you deserve whatever you can get. But it's a very, very hard. It's meant anti-climb. It's called anti-climb.
Our feature presentation.
You guys, it's called anti-climb.
Oh, is it?
Is that?
He has no idea what we were talking about.
Not a bit.
Hey, Kerax Kevin.
Hey, what's happening?
Cut it a little close. We doing this again today?
No.
We are.
No.
We are.
Bit,
we're not.
Bit. No, I'm not. I'm not. They are.
Okay.
You don't have to. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good.
How long you reckon you've been in the studio?
I would say before talking,
mm-hmm.
2 seconds.
Okay.
Probably.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How's everybody?
Good.
Good. You?
Yeah.
Aw.
Well, do you want to get into it or?
No. Ordinarily I chit-chat a little bit and then we do the thing, but there's so much thing, I think we need to get right to
it. Let's thing it up. Okay.
WrestleMania last night.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you watch, Jeff?
7 hours.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
7 hours.
That's insane.
It
was so stupid.
You was didn't. It?
Well, no, Danielle and I missed, like, she just sat at the couch and just stared at me and was like, why did I marry you?
Uh-huh.
And I think we missed 45 minutes.
That's unbelievable. There
yeah.
were 80,000 people there for WrestleMania in, was it New York, New Jersey?
New Jersey, but it's a New York kind of thing. But yes.
Yeah. 80,000 people there. How can it be 7 hours?
Yeah, I'm confused myself. I don't know why they've made it so long. I don't think they needed to be so long, but clearly people are, I mean, it's kind of more in the pop culture radar than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but it's sort of the only thing that's in at that length.
Yeah.
Almost everything, you know, the longest movies, everything else is so way short.
Yeah.
People have short attention spans.
It's crazy.
Now.
It's still, I mean, it's, you know, Fox just spent billions of dollars on owning, you know, television rights to WWE, and they might be onto something. Because if you can, you know, retain 3 hours of something, you're in luck.
Yeah.
4 hours, you're out of control. 7, you're unheard of.
They're hoping you go to dinner and then come back and it'll still be on your eyes.
Yeah.
Is this the type of thing you can record and fast forward to just the matches?
No, not really. It's actually an interface on WWE Network, because that's the way you pay $9.99 a month and you can watch anything they put out. But the interface has never been good for fast-forwarding and rewinding. No, it's actually pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
I imagine fan fatigue. By the time the Women's Championship came on, people are like, get it over with.
Yeah. My eyes hurt.
Really?
But I just
bet.
I couldn't do it.
And
who ended up winning the that triple tag team thing at the end?
In a botched... seems mistake ending.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch, but it seems like they made a mistake. And it also seems like Ronda was fighting with like a broken hand.
Oh.
So, I don't think it was under the ideal conditions, but Becky Lynch won. A lot of like, it basically, if you're a wrestling fan, all of the, a lot of happy endings.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston wins.
Right. Making him, did?
Yes. He won. He's basically the first African-American champion. They've had people like Mark Henry and stuff before, but as far as this belt.
And The Rock with a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. This is the first time this belt is held by an African-American. And then they had also Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar. A lot of things people have been hoping for.
What happened with the event at the Barclays Center the night before?
You're talking about
A fan coming out of the stands to try to take down
You're talking about
man.
The Hall of Fame. Yeah. By the way, a lot of weird stuff happened this weekend.
Okay.
The full moon was out for pro wrestling.
One of those weekends.
A disturbed fan rushed the stage during Bret Hart's Hall of Fame speech. So he won the Hall of Fame. He was inducted. And a fan ran up and tackled him.
Is a fan from Nebraska who is like got a whole bunch of, he's disturbed, but he's obsessed with MMA, and he's got a whole bunch of like stalking charges against him from other MMA fighters.
And Bret Hart is a cancer survivor, a stroke survivor, retired when accidentally punched in the head and got concussions. That was one thing that happened that night. Mm-hmm. The other thing that happened that night, in Madison Square Garden, they run a bunch of different wrestling shows, a lot like South by Southwest, you know, like shows everywhere. They ran one at Madison Square Garden for a company in Japan, New Japan Wrestling, and Ring of Honor, U.S.-based, as a supercard, you know, go against each other. Two dudes who used to be WWE wrestlers jumped over the railing and really fought. Straight fought two wrestlers. People were like, oh my God, they should be arrested. They found out it's like all in storyline.
No.
Yeah. Wow. But like real punches to the face. Like it looked crazy.
That's kind of awesome though.
I think it sets a bad precedent because now you're like, oh, I want everyone to punch each other in the face. but yes, it was a big, very weird stuff happening. Yeah.
Was this weekend the only 2 days that the WWE can do anything for the whole year? So they had to get it all in?
Because of 7 hours?
Yeah.
No. They do
have other time.
They'll do a 3-hour program tonight.
Oh, tonight?
They'll do 3 hours tonight and then two tomorrow.
This is you have to quit your job to follow
WWE.
You do.
All right. Speaking of fist fights, I just want to do one more thing real quick before we move on with the show. You guys probably saw, if you didn't see the video, you certainly saw the amazing photo that was taken yesterday at the Reds-Pirates game. Kevin, did you see this?
I saw it because you tweeted it, or someone did to me, yeah.
Yes, this was a bench-clearing brawl, and this photo is a masterpiece because Yasiel Puig looks like he's fighting 30 guys at one time.
Because he was, mostly.
he pretty much was, yes. So what happened is the first baseman for the Reds, Derek Dietrich, had a home run. And he, I guess it's considered poor baseball etiquette to drop your bat and just stand there and enjoy watching the ball go over the
fence.
Probably
like rubbing it in, right?
Totally rubbing it in. So the next time he comes up, the pitcher pitches the ball behind him, okay? This is his payback. He's throwing the ball behind him just to scare the S out of him, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a bench clearing event, and both sides are out on the field and throwing punches and pushing and shoving, and I mean it looked like a flashpoint for something really bad that's going to happen. And I play this tape, Kevin, just to bolster your opinion that baseball, even when something great happens, can really be boring. Listen to the play-by-play of the best brawl in 5 years on the field.
And, of course, a pitch comes in at him, and Archer's going to be warned.
Archer apparently has a problem with it.
And David Bell is saying, well, why warn him? And here comes everybody who wants to talk about it. These two teams have played each other quite a bit here in the early going, and it's feisty.
Okay, there's like 80 guys on the field right now.
I think that's stronger than feisty.
And I don't know which feed this is, but this guy's calling golf, right?
He is.
He's calling golf. He's not bringing it to life.
Man. There's some pushing and shoving. Whole lot of hullabaloo.
Yeah, I like what Bell did.
Whole lot of hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
It's sort of a catch-all word.
You want more?
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the big bodies out there. He wouldn't got right in front of his pitcher to protect him.
You can hear the fighting going on.
Yeah, sure. Real fighting.
Not too many getting by Josh.
No, nobody's going to go by him.
Yeah, let me skip forward.
And that's where the pitcher's residing. Way out of the fray there.
what is this guy doing?
And you wonder why wrestling is 7 hours.
Okay.
They can make fighting sound good.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable. They ejected five players. Well, actually, four players and the manager of the Reds got ejected. You'd never know it from these guys, though, would you? Anyway, be better, baseball.
Was it a bunch of posing or was it actual fighting? Because most of the time
there
in baseball,
were a couple
they
punches
just.
That they, were it was mostly pushing.
They run out, they push, they chest bump, they glare, and they all go back to the dugout.
It was mostly pushing.
Yeah.
But it was a very. It was a high energy charged moment, I guess is what I'm saying. That was
sounded
not reflected
like
in the comments.
Yeah, right. Like sure.
That's a whole lot of hullabaloo right there.
Oh, they've got cookies up here. Excellent.
These Quaaludes have helped the announce team.
You could guarantee me that every single baseball game, and I've been saying for a long time, all MLB players should be on steroids. All.
It should be a demand thing.
I think something is juiced.
This season.
A lot of home runs.
Yeah.
A lot of home runs.
I think the balls are juiced.
Looking at you, Dodgers.
Just saying. Balls are juiced this year.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Stop making my sons horny. Thank you, lady.
Positive even what that means. Do you have a favorite kid?
Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone does.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. How many kids do you have, Allie? Out of all of them?
Four. Thank you. But four. I think Seamus is my favorite.
Seamus. Okay. Excellent. Are we going to talk to Gary Sinise today? Always love talking to him.
He's a treasure.
He is.
No one spends more time doing good things than Gary Sinise.
Speaking of a treasure, Flash Phillips.
Mm. Oh, no.
He's a treasure.
I've been dreading this.
Flash Phillips is Bean. Mm-hmm. Before it was the Kevin and Bean Show, and that was his radio name, Flash Phillips.
I didn't choose it. Somebody gave it to me.
And he is a fast-talking mofo.
Yeah, gets it all in right before the song hits.
With a lot of echo and sound effects, so he sounds cool. He's talking to people on the phone.
I can't wait for this.
I can't wait.
It's sweetness, I gotta tell you.
I can wait for this.
Apparently, there's a fake Melania Trump.
Well, yeah, where you been, man?
I did not see the story anywhere.
How you didn't know this, I don't know.
All right. And also, we have April Foolish's opening act contest. We're going to tell you about that. Mm-hmm. We've had that going on. We're going to talk to last year's opening act, Daniel Weingartner, coming up today. And we have your tickets for April Foolishness as well. So we've got all that coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Time for a first look at what's happening here on a Monday.
All right. Any of you see movies over the weekend, Kevin?
I did. I saw Shazam.
And?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah?
It seems to be the consensus.
I liked it a lot because it knows what it is. It's kind of goofy, and they just stick with that, and they wholeheartedly know that it's goofy, and it's a really good movie.
It's hard not to root for Zach Levi.
Yes, he's so likable. I just loved it.
Excellent. Well, it seems like other people did as well. An estimated $53.4 million opening this weekend. They had hoped for about 45, so it did better than they thought. That roughly matches the opening weekend for Ant-Man, another film with a superhero that didn't have as much name recognition before it came out as well, because a lot of people didn't know really who Shazam was, if you're not in that world.
I still don't know who Shazam is, but I saw a headline. I wish I'd clicked on the article. I would have better information here. That it goes back to like 1937 or something. It was like one of the first of the superheroes, Shazam.
That was old.
Do you guys have any idea?
I still think it's Kazam and it's Shaquille O'Neal coming out of a boombox.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Great. So don't
Everybody
ask me.
Everybody this weekend saw that.
Yeah.
I don't know the origin story of Shazam. Mm-hmm. Bean, maybe if you clicked on that article, you could help us all out.
I sure should have.
Oh, man. Did you learn anything from the movie about his story?
Did I learn anything about his story?
Like his backstory.
How he became Shazam.
Yeah.
Yes. And the forces behind at work. And then he was trying to discover what could he do now that he's a superhero.
Uh-huh.
It was funny. It was fun.
And he's a kid, right? It's a kid that becomes Shazam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to give everything away, but yes, it's a kid.
And he dies at the end.
Right, he dies.
Why are you so mad?
But then he comes back, that's what no one saw coming.
All right.
And that's when he goes, Shazam! Right. And that's how he got the name.
Does anyone go Shazam in the movie?
Yeah.
That's a thing. Okay.
Okay.
Does he go like, Shazam!
He changes himself into the 15-year-old, into the superhero, by saying Shazam.
What? Wait, the 15-year-old changes into Zachary Levi by saying Shazam.
Like the movie Big?
Yes.
Does he play piano?
There
at
is
a store?
There is someone shoe tapping on a piano.
No,
yeah.
What?
It's
is like, there really?
Yes, there is. There really is.
Kevin,
okay.
I think you saw the wrong movie.
Nope.
Did you see Big? Was Tom Hanks in it?
Tom Hanks is not in it.
How high were you?
This was Shazam. Okay. I'm not positive. How do you put a number on that?
Seven. Well, I'm glad you saw it.
I would
like to chat with you more about
okay.
it. Pet Cemetery finished second at the box office this weekend with a $25 million opening. That's the second highest opening for a Stephen King adaptation behind the horror record $123 million for It in 2017.
I saw that.
You did?
I did.
And?
Yeah.
That's the other one I really wanted
really?
To see.
Yeah, it's good. It's slow, but it's fine.
But you're a horror guy.
I'm a horror head, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't love that. Eh.
It's fine.
Okay.
I don't like that it's fine either. I want it to be great.
No? That's high praise.
Okay. No, not really. It's not high praise.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dumbo plays third, making another $18.5 million. Then Us, that crossed over the $150 million domestic mark in its third weekend. Not bad, you guys.
That I enjoyed.
And then completing the top five, Captain Marvel, adding another $12 million. That's a $376 million total. Just here domestically, past the $1 billion mark last week.
That's pretty sweet.
People are going to the movies, you guys.
Yes.
I guess what I'm saying. Remember when the movies were dead? No one's going anymore. Mm-hmm. That changed. I was shocked when I read this that Adam Sandler is going to be hosting the May 4th episode of SNL, marking his first time ever hosting. Doesn't that seem crazy?
Yeah, you thought he would have.
Wow, I would have thought multiple times.
Nope, his first time hosting, and musical guest will be Shawn Mendes.
Ooh,
all right,
that could be good.
That could be good. I'm kind of in. I want to see what he does. If he brings back any old characters, and
I will tell you that it was a weird episode again this week. But Kit Harington was so likable and so good hosting SNL this weekend.
That you decided you are going to watch all Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm going to have Kevin recap the first six seasons for
me
first.
Sure.
And then maybe I'll watch the final season, yeah. But he was delightful. He really was. And your girlfriend, Sarah Bareilles, was the musical guest.
I
she was good,
love
too.
Her so much.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Remember when you're like, oh, Sarah Bareilles, what has she done lately? And then, you know, she starts like winning awards. They announced a whole show on Apple TV for her. She's on SNL. All within like a week of you guys being awful about her.
It wasn't Kevin. It was just me. And
I
will say that my only point was she's not hot right now,
I believe is what
buzz.
You said.
She didn't have the buzz that most of the guests this year have had. That's all.
Right. And then
but she was good.
Just got the Apple TV show. And then
all of a sudden, instant buzz.
No big whoop.
Kevin, was there a scene in Shazam where he's eating like a little corn? He's like in a tuxedo and he's eating a little piece.
No.
I don't think he saw Shazam. I'm still standing by it.
I saw Shazam, yeah.
Were there bunk beds?
Yes.
Oh! He's, again, standing by Big.
Yes, there were.
Big. All right, we're going to get to the bottom
Big
of this,
wasn't
you guys.
Even in the theaters this weekend. How would I have seen it?
Oh, yes.
In the theaters, I'm saying.
Right. That is a good point.
Okay.
That's a great point. That's his barometer.
The only way I know.
Could have been Big, but
I mean,
wasn't in theaters.
Was it at the New Beverly?
Because
that's
it was not.
Really
okay.
The only place it could have been.
I saw it at the Arclight.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. You might have seen Shazam.
Nope. Yeah, I saw Shazam. What? Yes. I thought you were trying to lead me astray again. It was Shazam, and it was good.
Okay. Some birthdays for you.
I've never been doubted more about what movie I saw.
I know.
Over the weekend.
It's weird.
You're not a reliable witness, Kevin.
Well, that's true. Mm.
Happy birthday to Robin Wright, Patricia Arquette, Taylor Kitsch, Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend, and Matty Healy from The 1975. You guys, The 1975 is playing our pop-up show this week.
Right.
Where will it be? We don't know. We can't tell you, but it's going to rule. Sorry you couldn't get in, loser.
Jeez.
And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
I am very nervous about this segment. I will not have Jensen Karp, a newbie on the Kevin and Bean Show, come in here and besmirch our president. If there's one thing you can say about President Trump, he is as transparent a man who's ever held that office. He is above reproach. He is truthful and honest.
And I'll tell you something else.
As I stand before you today, I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God.
So how are you coming at the president with your crazy fake Melania theory
now,
here, Jensen?
I haven't heard this because
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So we have a fake First lady.
Well, it says something about our president that this has any legs at all. Because even looking online, I was like, I don't know if this is true, but it could be. And that's even scarier. Back in May of 2018, you guys might remember when Melania Trump went missing. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, for several weeks.
Yeah, 28 days she was absent from the public eye.
That doesn't happen often.
No.
With the first lady.
No.
But hadn't she had a procedure done or something?
Well,
or
after,
had she?
Yeah, after the media started to question why we hadn't seen the first lady, it was said that she had a kidney condition and had to have a surgery for it, but then nothing was ever explained into any further detail.
Okay.
Because on June 4th, she reemerged with no explanation. And
however, with a facelift, though, to look more like the real Melania.
Well, that's what we'll get into.
Okay.
Take your time, Bean. Yeah, geez, he's really jumping on this one.
I was trying to be as crazy as I could be, but now you're telling me that's really what happened.
Yeah. At Kevin and Bean on Twitter, we just posted out two pictures of Melania Trump because the visuals in the past we've seen of her, right? Forced smile, the weird thing where like it seems like she doesn't want to hold Donald Trump's
sometimes
hand.
Sometimes actually doesn't.
Yeah.
Avoids his hand.
Also keep in mind, this is the first president in decades. Decades. Where the first lady and president sleep in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he had an affair after she gave birth. Okay, so October 13th, they have an impromptu press conference to discuss Iran and healthcare. And Melania was right behind him over, I believe, the right shoulder. And she was wearing a trench coat and sunglasses. Donald Weirdly, when he was explaining things, said, "My wife, Melania, who happens to be right here," and pointed at her, which is an insane thing to
say.
Which
is sort of a given. We all know that.
This is actually the real person, Melania Trump, that I am married to, and it is not an imposter.
I mean, he would have said that, and it wouldn't have stood out as much. It prompted a Twitter user named Joe Vargas to point out pictures of Melania that day with other pictures. Her lips and nose 100% look different. Her height seems different than normal when compared to Donald Trump.
Okay.
Now, this theory picked up some steam when people noticed that a slightly shorter member of the Secret Service team that follows around Melania Trump does look a lot like Melania Trump, which is also
one of the Secret Service.
Yes.
Okay.
They look a lot alike.
They do.
Then the theory popped back up last month when Trump appeared. Again, she was wearing those sunglasses and the trench coat, like she's three children stacked on each other, at a memorial at Opelika, Alabama, for the 23 victims who died in a tornado there. Again, different face, different height. The theory was mentioned then on The View.
Okay.
Oh, so now it's getting mainstream.
Yes, it's a lot bigger than just on your weird Reddit forum.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Donald Trump tweeted that day when it was on The View. You ready? "The fake news photoshopped pictures of Melania, then propelled conspiracy theories that it's actually not her by my side in Alabama and other places. They are only getting more deranged with time." Now, here's the thing. You could believe or not believe that it's a fake Melania Trump.
Right.
But it's definitely not Photoshop.
They didn't Photoshop anything.
From the media. So that means you have to agree with Donald Trump and say they're Photoshopped, or it's a fake Melania, or the truth, which is probably just that pictures are different when you shoot them from different angles.
Right.
But both of these theories, that the media is Photoshopping pictures of Melania and that there's a fake Melania, are both insane.
It's fake news. It's disgusting.
That's craziness.
Fake news.
All right, here's what I will say. If I were Melania Trump, and I could get away with sending somebody out there to be the first lady?
Yeah.
I 100% am signing up for
100%.
That.
Let's not pretend Daft Punk shows up to all their events.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I would do it every time.
All right, so let's talk about the percentage that you believe it. I mean, I know it's absurd. Most of us would just outright say that's stupid. There's no way they could even get away with it if they wanted to.
I would think it had no legs.
Okay.
Except the idea that Donald Trump's excuse for it is clearly a lie. So that makes me question everything in general, because it's not Photoshop pictures.
It's definitely not Photoshop.
So it doesn't look like her, that's for sure. But, you know, sometimes we all take photos where we don't look like ourselves.
Sure,
yeah, different angles and stuff.
But
lighting.
Does that affect your height, though, Jensen?
No.
It can make it look that way, though. From a different angle.
I got really deep into this. I got very much Homeland. And I was really breaking down every photo. And it does seem like she was wearing heels in one of them and flats in another. So I was sort of thinking, maybe it's that she's wearing sneakers because she is in Alabama.
Sure.
But then some of the other ones where I have some height issues.
Because she is in Alabama. Is that where you wear sneakers?
No.
Actually,
I do say that because one time she did get, during a flood, she did get sort of brushed back from wearing heels.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think now when
they were fancy shoes.
Yeah,
right?
Now I think when she goes to anything where someone died, she wears sneakers.
Well, she calls her double and says, "Wear sneakers."
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
She's like, "Wear the Nikes. Someone died here." But it is, I mean, listen, it just says something about the overall state of the government right now that there would be even any legs for this be a possible thing. That they would send out a double in order to make, I mean, because we could all agree, no matter what side you're on, it seems she hates him.
Yeah, it does.
We could all.
And I think even if you're a supporter of his, you have to sort of look at it and go, he's not fond of him.
Well, and that's only after it was, you know, exposed that he paid off adult film entertainers in order to hide their affairs. I mean, I would assume she hates him. So if she could find a double, she probably would, right?
I would find a double just for me, and I don't do much.
Right.
But if, you know what I'm saying? Like, I respect it.
Problem with
you
is have somebody to go to the dinners that you regret accepting.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem with you is that when you don't come in here, we fill in you with Brad Williams.
Oh, that's not a good double.
No. No one thinks it's you.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
April 26th is the Kevin and Bean 11th Annual April Foolishness at the Microsoft Theater. It's a great lineup again this year, including our friend Ray Romano, our friend Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift will be there, Jamie Lee, Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza. The Kevin and Bean rap battle, by the way, is happening. I think we're going to start rehearsals on that this week. Mm-hmm. All that is happening. And here's the best part. If you are an aspiring, up-and-coming comedian, you can open the show. How many years have we been doing this? 4 or 5 at least, right?
Yeah, I think more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking for somebody who's basically an unsung hero of comedy, somebody who deserves a bigger venue than what you've been playing, and you're going to be on a bill, and you forever will be able to say, hey, I opened for Ray Romano, right?
Exactly.
So I guess you go to krock.com right now, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and there's a little form that you fill out, and you tell us a little bit about yourself, and you upload a YouTube link to your comedy. And as I said, we've been doing this for a while, and I think we've got a little bit of a retrospect of how it's gone in the past.
Well, here's one of the guys that tried out last year.
What would a normal guy say? He doesn't want to do something his wife or girlfriend wants to do. Nah, it's stupid. It's dumb. Nah, it sucks. That's a horrible, douchey way to react, fellas. I really didn't want to go to the ballet. This is how I got out of it. I was like, the ballet? Yeah, the ballet's awesome. Me and my ex, that was our thing. Then she was like, the ballet. I told her, I said, we don't go to the ballet. That's fine. Our thing can be watching sports.
That's funny. That guy didn't win or did win?
Did not.
Wow. I liked it.
Yeah.
Now, we...
Can you win this
year? Would you like a recount?
Yeah. I mean,
yes, I would.
You could reapply, sure. Now, this next clip is one that's super unfortunate. And because you can't hear anything that's going on.
Oh, this is a good tip for people who are thinking about what to send us. Because, yeah, we need to be able to hear the material.
This is real.
Oh, no.
That got sent to us as an opening act contestant.
No.
And I think there's an Adele song going on in the background.
Oh, no.
People are talking. It seems like there's 5 or 6 different microphones that are live.
This is my song. Now you guys hear this, but when I really get my music, I start staring at myself in the rearview mirror. And then rock video.
So I'm just saying.
And that guy didn't win?
He did not win.
Okay.
That guy did not win, no.
Adele did win, though.
She did.
Like,
she
overall. Yeah, Grammys and stuff.
This one sort of tied into K-Rock music.
My grandma thinks I'm an idiot because the only reason I know how to spell bananas is because of a Gwen Stefani song. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I need Gwen Stefani to come out with a song called Definitely. T-E-F-I-N-I-T-E-L-Y, L-E-Y, E-L-Y, I have no idea. What about this song, Gwen? Diarrhea. Where's the H?
Not bad, right?
Also good, yes.
Yeah, very funny. But our winner last year was Daniel Weingartner.
I learned the Mexican dialect. There's different dialects in different countries, right? There's like small differences. I figured that out when I was 10 years old. I was in Argentina, and I wanted to get a hat. And the word that I learned for hat is cachucha, right? Cachucha. But in Argentina, cachucha means So I'm just like a fat little 10-year-old kid trying to get a hat, you know? I go into the store, this guy thinks I'm trying to cop some like, what? It was very weird when he took me to the back room. I was like, oh, is this where the hats are? I don't know.
So Daniel was the winner last year. He came out on stage at the Microsoft Theater, and he joins us on the phone bright and early right now. Hey, Daniel, how are you, man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. I want you to put yourself in the place where you heard about the opening act competition last year so that the people are listening right now who are thinking, maybe I should go for it, maybe I shouldn't. How did you decide to put something up and apply to be the opening act on the deal?
I saw a link on Facebook, and I said, that seems like a good idea. And then I just did a quick little application, sent over the clip, waited, and then next thing I know, there's a Helpful Hana person in beer mug downstairs in my apartment at my door.
Yeah, that's the negative. I mean, we didn't want to bring that up, but beer mug does have to come to your house. So,
how long had you been doing comedy when you applied last year, Daniel?
Last year, it was probably about 7 years.
Uh-huh. And what kinds of places have you been playing? Where have you been finding work?
I've been finding work at bars. I've been doing that, opened up for some other headliners, like at improvs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 200, 300 seat venues at the most.
Right.
And then last year was, I don't know, was it like 7,000, something crazy?
I think it's around 5,500, I think, is the capacity.
I think, yeah.
5,500?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it looks like a lot when you walk out on that stage, doesn't it?
It does look like a lot. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It was an awesome night.
I got to tell you, though, you came out and you killed.
Absolutely.
You were great.
You wouldn't think you were nervous at all.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I hit it very well. That's just years of just, like, repressing everything.
I see.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to put a lot of pressure on this year's opening act winner, whoever he or she may be, but Eddie Pence in 2015, killed.
Yeah,
Grant Cotter, killed. Julian Fernandez, amazing in 2017. Daniel was great last year. So far, the Kevin and Bean audience that votes on the opening act winner has had outstanding taste.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is you go to the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com, tell us a little bit about yourself, and send us a link to your YouTube stand-up. And Daniel, you're still doing comedy. I understand you got a show Wednesday at the Irvine Improv, right?
Yeah. You guys have been great. Yeah, I have Irvine Improv on Wednesday, and then I'm at Oxnard Levity Live on April 24th.
That's fantastic. Right. Nice. I'm glad it was a good experience for you. If you want to see this year's winner and all the rest of the comedians on Friday, April 26th at the Microsoft Theater, tickets are on sale right now. They start at only $30, you guys, and you can get them at AXS.com. Daniel, I hope you'll at least come to the show this year. We'd love to see you again.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll be able to make it out.
All right. Very cool.
Leaving his options open.
Sure, of course.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's doing leaving my options open. No, that's so funny. Man, really, really making me sound good right now.
Thanks for coming on and catching us up, Daniel. We appreciate it. Congratulations again from last year.
Thank you. Thank you guys again for having me last year. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on this morning.
You bet.
All right, the deadline is a week from Friday. Comedians, we want to hear from you. 10 a.m. Friday the 19th, that's the deadline. Then we all vote the next week. And then that following Friday night at the Microsoft Theater, we will
see. My grandma thinks I'm an idiot because the only reason I know how to spell bananas is because of...
And then that's going on stage just before April Foolishness. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Monday morning, and you know what that means? It's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! It's right there in the name. There's plenty of bad news. You can find that anywhere, but at least once a week, you know you're going to get some great news. It doesn't always sound like it starts out that way sometimes. Some of these stories.
Some days none of them sound like it.
They do ultimately end up happy. This one comes out of Centerville, Illinois to get us started. Kevin, when your girls were little, did you ever have a scare where they swallowed something and you had to figure out a way to Heimlich them or push it out or whatever?
No.
Oh, you got very lucky.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened in this story.
Tonight, one-year-old Damani is all smiles. But earlier today, her parents say she was having the scariest moment of her life when she was choking on a penny.
The first thing in my mind was getting to the hospital.
And that's what Darius Hinkle did. He says officers later told him he was going over 100 miles per hour.
Now, let me stop and ask, would you throw your kid in the car and drive 100 miles an hour to the hospital, or would you call 911 figuring they would get to you faster?
I don't know that they would get to you faster.
Yeah. Depends.
I mean, I think at the hospital's within, say, 10 miles, I'm driving to the hospital.
You're driving to the hospital.
I think that's what he did. Quicker, yeah.
As you heard, over 100 miles an hour, but what's he going to do? Stop and discuss it? No, he's trying to get his kid saved.
That's my daughter. I wouldn't want nothing to happen to her.
The dad says there were lights and sirens behind him for miles until he finally arrived at the hospital with his daughter and her mother.
They told us to get out, put our hands up, and I got out, I put my hands up, and I yelled, and I told the police, my baby is choking. And I told them multiple times that she was choking. They was just worried about the fact that we were speeding.
Hinkle says multiple police agencies were on scene and says he was arrested and taken to jail.
Okay, like
hey,
I said,
Bean, this is great news.
I know, sometimes it doesn't sound like great news at the beginning. Imagine what it was like going through those cops' minds, though. They had no idea that there's this little girl in distress in the vehicle. They just think they're in a high-speed chase that ends at a hospital, right? All right, here's where things turn around. The mom takes the daughter in, and the daughter is fine, as you heard at the beginning of the report. She's fine. The father, the driver, was arrested and taken to jail. So after mom is done with the daughter, she goes to bail her husband out of jail.
Wow.
And here's where the great news comes in.
Dantia Pittman says she had just arrived at the jail to try to bond him out when...
Somebody was up there and they said, I'm here to bond out Darius Hinkle. I was looking like I didn't know who it was. And when I looked out the door to see who it was, she spoke and she said, I'm the nurse from Touche Hospital.
The couple says they are so grateful to these nurses for their kindness.
I can't thank them enough.
And for saving their daughter.
So the nurses taking care of the little girl all got together and chipped in enough money to send one of them to the jail to bail the husband out.
Wow.
Because he had driven her to the hospital like that.
Amazing.
That's above and beyond the call of duty right there.
Agreed.
I thought the other woman trying to bail him out was his other girlfriend that the wife didn't know about.
Oh, no.
But it turned out it was the nurses instead. That's why that's my great news.
Mine is Brother Peter Tabichi is a science teacher from rural Kenya. He has been known to give up to 80% of his pay, which, let's be honest, isn't that much, away to kids. He gives them to his students. He says it's not all about money, though. Some pupils, all from a very disadvantaged family. Many are unplanned or orphaned or lost a parent. There's all kinds of issues, and he gives away 80% of his money to them. He says many pupils walk more than 4 miles to reach the school. They have challenges with lack of facilities. They don't have computers. I mean, the whole thing is super poor, and they do not have enough money. And yet, this teacher gives away 80% of his salary.
Hey, we hear stories all the time about teachers here in America who dig into their own paychecks to provide things for students that they don't have.
His pupils, on the other end, have been successful in national and international science competitions, including an award from the Royal Society of Chemistry in the UK. The president of Kenya commented on this guy. He says, Peter, your story is a story of Africa, a young continent bursting with talent. Your students have shown that they can compete amongst the best in the world in science, technology, and all fields of human endeavor. And like that's not enough that he gives 80% of his salary away, he just won the 2019 Global Teacher Prize worth $1 million.
Wow.
How about that?
That's not bad.
A guy that's doing that much to help absolutely deserves that $1 million, and that's my great news.
Think he's going to give any of that away?
I don't know.
I would give away my $40 a week if I knew I was going to win $1 million. By the way,
I don't think he knew.
He's the winner here.
All right, my story is about a 13-year-old little boy in Nevada whose mom had fallen on hard times. She's a single mom. He's got another brother and a sister, so 3 kids, single mom. There's no car in the family, so they were struggling. And this little boy named William was doing yard work. He was going around to people's houses saying, hey, I'll cut your lawn, I'll do whatever, just trying to earn some money. And he had seen, you know, YouTube videos of kids that would buy their mom a car and how thrilled their parents were, like, oh, you did this, this is so wonderful. And he thought to himself, I want my mom to be that happy. So he saw a Facebook post from someone in his town that was also selling a car. And he reached out and said, hey, I want to sell you my Xbox. And I want to do...
His Xbox console?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I want to do all the yard work. I want to mow the lawn. I want to do all that. Then you could sell me the car. And the lady was like, yeah, no. And then she thought about it and was like, wait a minute, this kid's awesome, of course. So he tells his mom, Mom, we need to go with this lady out here. She's going to bring us to the house because I did something for you. And his mom's like, what is happening? What is going on with my kid? They then pull up to this lady's house. She's got her car keys right there. And she's like, here, your son sold his Xbox and he's going to do yard work. This is now your car. The woman, of course, loses it, just sobbing. This is a 13-year-old little boy that's like, you know what? I want my mom happy. I can do more yard work. I don't need an Xbox. If it's going to make my mom, her life a little bit easier, I want to do this. So the mother and son drove off together in the white 1999 Chevrolet Metro that
and
he bought.
And crashed, and unfortunately, they didn't make it.
I don't think that's part of the story.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was reading ahead.
Oh, my God. No.
I think Allie was pretty much at the crescendo of that story.
Okay. So everyone lived happily ever after. That is great news.
That's my great news.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I'm looking at the clock, Kevin. I don't think we're going to have
plenty
time.
Of time.
No,
listen.
It looks like we're running kind of late here.
Before the Kevin and Bean show started. Back in 90 when the Kevin and Bean show started, it was not the beginning of Bean's career.
No.
Nor mine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But Bean, before then, was using the stage name Flash Phillips.
Hmm.
And I feel like I should say again so you don't think I'm a total a-hole.
Well, let's wait until we hear the tape, but go ahead.
It was given to me. I started work at a new radio station, WAVA, in Washington, D.C., and 5 minutes or so before I went on the air, my program director said, what are you going to call yourself? And I said, well, I'm going to use Gene Baxter, like I always have. That's my real name. Oh, no, that's not, I can't, no. We need something show busy for the kids. You're going to be Flash Phillips.
Did you say, is there a second option?
Look, it was my first day on the job. I was happy and I felt lucky to have the job. So I was Flash Phillips for 3 freaking years.
Wow.
And I have not, I saw that this tape was posted on some Radio Rewind site the other day.
Yep.
And I listened to 15 seconds of it, Kevin, and then I sent it to you because I said, I don't even want to hear this.
It's the best.
I don't even want to hear this.
So Bean talks 3 times as fast as he does now.
Mm-hmm.
He also has giant echo on his voice at all times.
Okay.
And this is Flash Phillips.
WABA, hi.
Hi, I'm trapped here in this telephone booth at this bank until 8 o'clock. I'm kind of bored. This is the station. Do you mind playing Bangagong by Power Station?
Oh, I was just thinking about that record. That would sound good tonight.
Okay.
Nice hot night in D.C., the Power Station cranking out of the radio. So you say you're in a bank and you're bored?
Yeah, I'm trapped in one of them photo map booths.
Have you considered embezzlement?
That'd help a whole lot, by the way.
Well, I mean, seriously, it would certainly spice up the evening. Just my advice, sir, but then I'm a known convict. Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Listen to
That's
Flash
a pro,
Phillips.
Man. Flash is a killer.
Right?
I hate it so
then he
much.
Comes out of that song saying,
banging that gun, singing that song off Compact Disc. It's the Power Station. Great album, especially thanks to Andy Taylor, formerly Duran Duran on that one. Some great guitar work there. And Andy, my gosh, is his career happening in a big way or what? First, he was supposed to open for David Lee Roth last fall at the Baltimore Arena.
Listen to the echo. Is this crazy?
When does he breathe?
He doesn't. He never did. For 10 years, he didn't breathe.
He was supposed to open this summer out at Meriwether Post Pavilion for the Psychedelic Furs. He got booted off that tour. For about 2 minutes, he was scheduled to open for Heart this year at Meriwether, and now he's not going to do that either. Meanwhile, his former buddies in Duran Duran played a sold-out house at Madison Square Garden last night. So was that a happening career move or what? Yeah. So there you go. Andy Taylor, folks, now you're in the groove, okay? 432-WAVA is my number. We're taking your votes for the Hot 8 at 8. On the way, it's a 10-in-a-row power play, including the brand-new song from Madonna that we played first for you this morning with Jim Elliott around 10 o'clock. Also coming up, George Michael's I Want Your Sex and Atlantic Star by Request is next.
Look,
Bean, how much cocaine?
Unrelated. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Are you the Micro Machines guy? And also, are you recording in a hall? Where are you?
Look, that was the trend back then.
Everybody had that echo.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Guys, first of all, I'm exhausted even hearing
right,
the tape reveal.
Same.
Second of all, I would so make fun of this DJ.
Oh, of course.
I would so
don't make fun of him.
This guy is worse than D's. He's worse than Seacrest.
But you wouldn't have made fun of him when he was him. Like in the 80s?
I guess.
Pretty good.
No, not pretty good.
Listen to the giveaway that the morning show's got going on.
WAVA, Power 105, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara are incredibly wacky, and they're doing it again tomorrow. As it's Free Money Thursday, the Zoo Boys will be handing out instant cash. I can't say this on the radio that it's tax deductible, can I? Well, it's undeclared income. Tomorrow morning with Don and Mike, $10.50 in cash to the first 105 people that show up with
$10.50.
What?
What are they going to do with $10.50?
And you don't have to declare it, so that's the good news.
They say to call by, so that's it. All the details tomorrow morning from 5:30 till 10 on Washington's favorite early morning zoo. Right now, bond request for everybody. Here's George Michael, and I want your...
Was it requested
by everybody?
I mean, it was probably a very hot song at that time. Okay, we're out of time.
Hold on, I have a question. How many people show up for $10?
Well, it was to the first 100.
Jeez.
So I guess a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I mean, we didn't get the follow-up on that, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah. Now he moves on to the 4th of July in Washington, D.C., and what's going on?
Lovely Debbie Gibson, Power 105, WAVA by request. That's Only in My Dreams. Doing some The Cutting Crew is standing by. And the new music power playoff in about 20 minutes as Los Lobos La Bamba.
Listen to the music he's got going, too, man. He's jamming that bed.
Tries to make it four big nights in a row. I'm Flash Phillips at 432-9282. Hi, you're on the air.
I want to know.
Chris Jagger, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Jagger.
Yeah.
Hi, okay, WAVA.
That was my evening competitor. On the other radio station in town,
Q107. You were S-talking.
That's exactly what I was. That's who that was, yes.
Wow.
Hi, WAVA.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering, do you know who's playing at the 4th of July now?
Well, there is no 4th of July show downtown in terms of pop acts. They have usually some marching bands, stuff like that, but there's no big hoopla like there used to be.
How come? When does it start?
And by the way, he's got this music going, but he'll take forever to talk about the 4th of July. And why it's not happening, who's not there, and who was there.
Oh, a couple years ago. It got too big. Sir, the last time we did it, when we had everybody and his mother here, and your mom says hello, we had 750,000.
Can we get Flash Phillips for this show?
Right?
Please stop.
A couple years ago, it got too big, sir. The last time we did it, when we had everybody and his mother here, and your mom says hello, we had 750,000 people down there. So they just decided to scale it down because it cost too much money to clean it up.
That was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Yes, who was down there?
That was the Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Beach Boys, the Oak Ridge Boys, Jimmy Page, New Edition. We brought John Lennon back, you'll recall. I mean, it was a big day. It was a lot of fun, but it was just too big for the city.
So last year was the year they started this stuff.
Exactly. They started the family affair downtown.
Oh, my God.
All right, sir. Well, there you go. Glad to help. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
And I was thinking maybe this year we could get Menudo for the 4th of July, huh? That would be spanking.
I'm sorry.
What?
That would be spanking?
I'm sorry. It would be what, Bean?
You heard it.
And I was thinking maybe this year we could get Menudo for the 4th of July, huh? That would be spanking.
And that was the last time I was ever recorded on tape.
Oh, no, it continues.
Oh, please.
We're out of time.
No, we're not out of time.
Why is it so loud in the background?
It's just how things ran, man.
That whole segment was like if he worked at City Hall.
It was.
He just gives information.
Forever. So now he makes a Menudo joke and he's getting called on.
WBA, hello.
Am I getting a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you calling on Menudo?
No, I love Menudo. No. You read me all wrong. Menudo is one of my favorite bands. I have all their records. I have posters at home. I went to see them at the Warner Theater. I have a Menudo t-shirt. I swear to you, I'm not lying.
Okay, do you know anything? Are they coming here in concert August 1st?
I don't know. They're still trying to break in the new guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that entails. Okay. You know, a weekend at their farmhouse in Connecticut, maybe, with a horse. I don't know, but no, just a joke. We'll let you know the minute we hear anything. We are your official Menudo station. You know that.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. She bought it.
That was incredible. That was really good.
God.
Flash killing it.
I'm telling you, he does kill it.
Is it possible the new guy was Ricky Martin, by the way?
Huh.
Is it possible?
Does oh, possibly.
Timing-wise, does that work out? I don't know.
How long has it been since you've made a sex horse sex with a horse joke?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. All right, that's the end of that tape.
One more clip.
Come on.
WNBA Power 105 with far and away the most tunes in Washington. Nobody else even come close. I'm Flash Phillips, and I got a great new song, Who's That Girl? The latest from Madonna.
Madonna. And you know what Madonna is?
That would be spanking.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, let's give away the very first pair of tickets. They are on sale right now through AXS.com for as low as $30. But this is the first time we've given them away for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2019, Friday, April 26th at the Microsoft Theater with Ray Romano and Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift, Jamie Lee, plus the Kevin and Bean rap battle. It's all happening. This time we're giving them away with kid jokes.
Tickets to April Foolishness. Come and join the fun. Get your kid on the phone and make sure they're not dumb. Come on, kid, get on the line. It's your time to shine. Come on, kid, do your kid joke. It's about that time. Kid jokes, make sure you don't choke. Be funny, that's what you do. Or mommy will punish you. Or daddy will punish you. Kid jokes.
Dangerous than it needed to be. We're just having fun here. And that show's going to be spanking, I understand.
That's what I hear, yeah.
All right, let's start with a little 10-year-old Gio, I think, in Riverside wants to be our first up with kid jokes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Gio.
Hi.
Do you have a joke?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit?
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit? I don't know.
Banana.
Now that.
That's a delivery.
Not bad at all.
Nice.
Geo.
What a start.
Well done, son. All right, let's go to little 6-year-old Eva up next here on the Kevin Bean Show for kid jokes.
Hey, Eva.
Hi.
Hi, tell us a joke.
How do you wake up Lady Gaga?
How do you wake up Lady Gaga? How?
You poke her face.
Also,
you
excellent.
Yeah, it's a 2 in a row.
Excellent.
Kid jokes. Kid jokes.
Wow, these kids performing at the show, by
right?
the way.
All right, let's go to Bella, who is 8 in Hesperia. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Bella. How you doing today, sweetheart?
Good.
You got a joke for us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Why can't you give Elsa a balloon?
Why can't you give Elsa a balloon? Why?
Because she'll let it go.
Oh, frozen humor.
Frozen joke.
I love it.
All strong so far.
All good. All good.
I wouldn't do this for the rest of the show. Swear to God. I love this. Let's talk to Fontana's Ethan. He is six, and he is going to entertain us with a joke. We're playing for tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2019. Hi there, Ethan.
Hi.
You got a joke for us, son?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
How can you make a napkin dance?
How can you make a napkin dance? How?
You put a little boogie in it.
Yeah, you do. Kid jokes,
kid jokes. I bet right now Ethan thinks, and it was a good joke, he thinks that's the funniest thing he's ever heard,
yeah.
Right?
That was pretty strong, guys.
Boogers. Oh, I love
this
it.
We're going to end up having to do a drawing.
I think so, too.
They're all worthy. They're all worthy. All right. Delilah is nine, you guys, and she is in Whittier, and we welcome her to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Delilah.
Hi.
We would love it if you would make us laugh.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I did app
who?
That's the joke. He said, I did a poo.
I did, and then you say, who?
I did who?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that she just stole a Jerry Seinfeld joke. That's not fair. Can't just use someone else. Kid jokes,
kid jokes. All right, Delilah.
I did a poo.
Let's go to Alina. She is in North Hollywood, and she is only 6 years old, but here she is. Alina, good morning.
Good morning.
Say hi louder.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. Dad, we can hear just fine, Dad.
Yeah, tell your dad to step off. All right, you got a joke for us?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why did the cookie go to the doctor?
Why did the cookie go to the doctor? I don't know. Why?
Because he was feeling really funny, and he died, and then he fell into a cup of milk, and then he goes to the cookie heaven.
Kid jokes, kid jokes.
I loved it. Thanks a lot for calling. I don't care. I loved it.
All right. I feel like that's all the time we have.
I'm sorry.
We'll do it another time.
We have more tickets to give away. We'll do it again.
We've got Gio. We've got Eva. We've got Bella. We've got Ethan. We've got Delilah. We've got Alita. You were all delightful. And thanks to your parents for letting you call. Only one, unfortunately, is going to win tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2019, Friday, April 26th. The Microsoft Theater tickets on sale, AXS.com. Who's our winner, please?
Well, the winner is Gio. And I say we listen to the joke again.
Gio,
tell us the joke again.
Tell us the joke again.
Okay. What is Beethoven's favorite fruit?
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit? What?
Banana.
Nice.
Nice. Kid jokes. Kid jokes.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Allie, you're up. What's happening?
Well, I'm scrolling through Twitter on Saturday, and I saw something that really bummed me out.
Oh.
Adam McKay retweeted Deadline Hollywood, and Deadline Hollywood's had the saddest news I've heard in a long time.
What's that?
Longtime partners Will Ferrell and Adam McKay to go their separate ways.
No!
So Adam... No! I know. So Adam retweeted and said, thank you to everyone who collaborated with us for 13 years. Proud of the stuff we got to work on. And most of all, the amazing people we worked with. Also excited for new stuff to come. So that essentially finishes the longest creative partnership in town, right? Like they've been together a while. So they've decided to branch out separately and refocus their creative efforts.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Same.
And my day is ruined.
Yeah, my weekend was. I understand. Do you know how they met Adam McKay and Will Ferrell?
Mm-mm.
They were hired on the same day on SNL in 1995. Yeah. And then 13 years ago, they formed with Chris Henchy the multi-platform comedy-generating production company Gary Sanchez, which then later branched into a female-centric offshoot, Gloria Sanchez. And, of course, teamed on some of the greatest movies of all time.
Correct.
Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, The Other Guys. I mean, mean, just my favorite movies.
Same.
As soon as I saw this, I was like, there's not going to be a Step Brothers 2. Like, that was my first, yeah.
Oh, God! Do you guys think it was Holmes and Watson that sold the company?
Wow.
Took down the ship.
That was probably the biggest misfire of Will Ferrell's career, right?
I mean, he's got his own competition for that.
He's got some bombs.
Yeah. Way more highs.
No!
Yeah, way more highs.
Yes.
And could it also just be that Adam McKay is more interested in going on and pursuing more serious fare?
Yeah, that's what
like
it
the Vice
like.
Movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Didn't Vice come out on the same day as Watson and Holmes?
Oh, yeah, it did.
It's around the same weekend. Yeah. So, I mean, there you have it.
Oh, this is sad now. It's just sad.
See? Marc Maron is sad, you guys. Everyone's sad. You know what you shouldn't be sad about? Idris Elba joining Suicide Squad 2.
Right.
What? But not as Deadshot. Idris was rumored to be a possible replacement for Will Smith's Deadshot role in Suicide Squad 2, but instead, he's playing a whole new character. Deadline reports that the Deadshot character won't appear in the next film. And of course, James Gunn is directing that one. Expected to be in theaters August of 2021.
Wow. So him taking over, there will be people from the first one in it.
Yes.
Okay. But then some new people.
Some new people, like Idris Elba. Mm. And some old people, like Deadshot.
What about Shazam?
I don't know if Shazam will be in Suicide Squad 2. What do you feel? You saw Shazam.
Do you think he could be in Suicide Squad 2?
Absolutely.
Thank you for asking me. In my expert opinion, I would say yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Shazam seems like the kind of superhero who would like text or like blow bubbles, like from bubblegum. Like, is he like a cool guy? You know what I mean?
He's a goofball. That's
what right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a goofball.
Here's my question. Like, it's something I have struggled with when you see a movie like a Big or like a Shazam, where it's a kid that then becomes someone older.
Right.
I feel creepy thinking that, like, Zachary Levi's hot.
Because he's a kid. Right.
And then in Big, I don't want to think that Tom Hanks is hot because he's a kid.
Well, technically, in Big, she rapes a boy.
It's a bit disturbing if you think about it.
Yeah.
So did you still find Zachary Levi hot, I guess, is my question.
I mean, it's impossible not to.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So you just got past it.
Just figured out a way to believe. Yeah, that's the character.
Right.
And not the person.
Okay.
That's how I went.
Okay. We also still think that you might have seen Big this weekend.
I didn't. I saw Shazam.
Not Shazam.
I saw it.
So when he yells Shazam, that's when he turns into Shazam.
Yes. And when he yells it again, he turns back.
Okay.
Yes. Hmm.
And what are Shazam's superpowers?
That's the whole movie is he's trying to figure out what he can and can't do. Can he fly? Can he not fly?
Oh.
He can floss. I saw it in he does floss.
Yeah, he can do that.
So you're really on this journey with Shazam to find out what his superpower is.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the end of it, were you pleased with what his superpower is?
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, very much so.
All right.
Shazam head over there.
Big Shazam head. Good stuff. You guys, it's good to be the creators of Westworld. Lisa Joy and Jonah Nolan, they're, of course, behind the HBO huge hit. They have signed a 9-figure, 4-year overall deal with Amazon, rumored to be worth upward of $30 million a year. Jeez. Now, season 3 is currently in production, set to debut in 2020 on HBO. If it is renewed, which it hasn't been yet, they'll remain on board there. So that's kind of cool.
All right.
A lot of money, you guys, that these streamers are giving away. Well, not giving away. They're going to earn
talented it. Talented people, sure.
Very talented people, but my gosh. If you're at a big channel, like ABC, when they did the whole Shonda Rhimes thing, and then who else from ABC got over there?
Modern Family, the guy, Levitan.
Kenya.
Yeah.
You've got to be like, what? I need to get over there, get some of this money.
Yeah, it does seem like they're handing out everywhere.
I would be terrified if I was a big network trying to keep my talent and my showrunners there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, there's so much television, as we've said here. Mm-hmm. It's worth betting on the one you know has made it before.
Yeah.
That's what
like
it is.
Like a Dan Fogelman. You should be throwing money at Dan Fogelman, which I don't know if you heard about that, but they want to keep him happy. Of course, created This Is Us, that there were rumors last week that Pitch Perfect. Pitch Perfect? What's the baseball movie?
Pitch.
Why did I say Pitch Perfect?
Not
that they were going to maybe think about bringing Pitch back, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's going to keep Dan Fogelman happy, bring Pitch back.
Friend of the show, Mark Paul Gosselaar, he tweeted that's how he found out that the show was being thought about rebooting.
Is that right?
Just that story.
Wow.
He was like, whoa, I guess they're thinking about bringing Pitch back.
I mean,
that's funny.
Do it. Right? Who's with me?
We're with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you're not as with me.
I mean, we're not as excited as you are, but
listen,
we're with you.
Listen, I am Team Fogelman.
Same.
Fogelman 2020.
You're a loser.
For years, I do love him so much. Some birthdays for you. Matty Healy from 1975. From Vampire Weekend, we've got Ezra Koenig, Taylor Kitsch, Robin Wright, and Patricia Arquette all celebrating birthdays today. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Allie, how did this start?
Well, you know me. You know how I peruse parenting websites and mom forums. Well, I saw an article. There's a parenting forum called Mumsnet. And I'm sorry. I think that this is real and it's true.
Okay.
She wound up writing on there, "I'm ashamed to say this, but I really do have a favorite child. I have two sons, and the oldest, who's three, is a real struggle for me. He has been since day one. He's so intense and determined, he really overwhelms me. My husband is blessed with patience. They have a great bond." She then goes on to say, "Listen, I like my second son, who's 18 months, a lot better. We just gel more." And then she said, "My own mother was cruelly unfair to my older sister, and I really thought I could be a bigger person. Has anyone else ever felt like this?" Which just opened the floodgates of people that either said, "You're awful.
Right.
How are you even saying any of this?" to other ones that are like, yeah, we all have a favorite. Duh.
At some point, the three-year-old, was it three? The
older yes.
one, is going to be in high school, and somebody is going to bring in this article and just say, "Your mom doesn't like you."
I was perusing Mom's Nuts, and I believe this is you.
An 18-year-old story on a mom blog.
Allie, why are you reading mommy blogs? Your ovaries are already dust. What are you trying to do at this point?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
They've been dust for years.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know why I came across this, but I've had this conversation with friends of mine. And usually after a couple glasses of wine, they will absolutely tell you which is their favorite.
Okay, now I know I'm having my first child in just a few months, so I don't have a ton of experience in this. But wouldn't it go in waves? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this one's my favorite. Like, I have a dog and a cat. And
and the dog is always the best.
Well, no. Sometimes the dog is my favorite. Sometimes the cat is. We just go in and out of phases.
Uh-huh.
So, like, isn't that what, I mean,
that might be normal. I can see that.
Yeah.
No, I think the amount of work that they are has nothing to do with the love.
Mm-hmm.
Some can be harder to deal with and some can be easier to deal with, but it has nothing to do with how much you love them.
I think you
she's
love...
She's a terrible woman.
She's
not a terrible woman.
You love
no, she's not.
I think she's being honest.
Unconditionally.
Yes.
But I think you like one of your kids a little more.
I mean,
no,
I don't.
You don't?
No.
They're not listening. Go ahead.
Okay, I do. I don't like any of them.
No. Oh, wow. That took a turn.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't have kids, but I will tell you that I do have some experience with this topic because I know for a fact that my parents both individually have told me that my brother is their favorite kid.
No.
There's only two individually have told me that.
There's only two of you. How do you get both parents to turn on you?
I was trying to think about why.
But have they heard Flash Phillips?
I was trying to think about... Okay. Now, my mom did tell me at one point that he needed more help. Not necessarily growing up, but the phase where you enter into adulthood. I had a pretty much a straight shot for a career in terms of what I wanted to do.
You're independent.
But then why wouldn't you be their favorite?
Yeah.
Because you took less work.
Because they felt like he needed extra love and extra tender, you know, care and, you know, just extra help and that thing. And I think it's just, you know, it's like the, you know, it's like a wounded puppy. You know what I mean? It's just you.
Right.
You couldn't love it anymore because you root so hard for
but
it. You want it to get well.
But did they have to say the words, "We like him better than you"?
Well, they didn't.
That
have
seems
to,
cruel.
But I feel like they enjoyed telling me that.
Oh,
but it doesn't bother me at all. By the way, honestly, I don't care. It, honestly, it makes no difference to me. You know,
right?
Because you're used to not being loved.
Yeah. Well, I love my brother, and you know that's fine. What I'm saying is, you know, they didn't have any problem with saying that. You know, I love you, and I'm proud of you. But truth be told, I'm a little more into your brother John.
And, so. I mean, if we're honest, who wins? Where are they now, right?
Right?
Oh, wow.
you just played the orphan card.
Hallie. To perfection, by the way.
Like it was wrong.
To perfection. That was well done.
Oh, boy.
Dare you?
Well done.
Omar is here. Omar can weigh in. He's actually got kids now.
Yeah, I have a 5 and 7-year-old, and I could totally, like right now, they're still going through the cute phase.
Mm-hmm.
And
first one that turns not cute, though, you're kicking them right out.
Exactly. I'm like, I hate you, beat it, kid.
Yeah.
I know, but I could totally
see.
Oh,
you don't want an ugly kid.
I totally see what everybody is saying because, I don't think, like you said, you love your kid, you love your children unconditionally, mm-hmm. but once they get older, and if one's a dick, you know what I mean? You're not going to like that kid.
Which
you know?
One, he's which, being truthful.
Of the two kids, which one do you think is going to be a dick?
Zoe.
Okay.
Totally.
Oh,
she's going to be, totally.
Say? It's
going to
be Zozo.
It's going to be Zozo, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Me as my road dog. Zoe's going to give me nothing but problems down the line.
I mean, we have our answer.
Right?
I said this off the air. I said Zozo's going to be the problem. Yeah. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to take your calls on this, by the way, if you want to discuss having a favorite kid, or if you don't believe it. Either way, 1-800-520-1067. But I'm most interested in hearing honest people like Omar and less interested in dishonest people like Kevin. All right? 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one real fast before the break and let's make it Sharon. She's in Montclair. She's up on line one, please.
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, so, you know, I started listening this morning and I want to tell you that I was that favorite child myself, so I do know the difference. I have two boys. And I love my kids, but there is a difference in them on their personalities. Now, one of them is identical to me, and that's the one I struggle with. But that doesn't mean I love him any less than his brother.
Okay, right. But do you have a favorite? Would you say you have a favorite kid?
Yeah, the one like her.
Well, I have I have favorite moments.
Right. So a favorite kid.
Who has more moments?
Well, both of them will not be hearing this today, but I get along better with the oldest, but the youngest one is me. I mean, this child is my little mini-me, and so
do you hate that
there
kid?
Is where the battle comes, because it's like fighting with yourself. Yeah. But I would, you know, Jacob could stand up for himself. The younger one needs me, so I have to fight for that one.
All right.
You know, so my battle has to be stronger for the younger one than the older one.
Sorry, Jacob. No, beat it, kid.
Yeah, beat it. And that is the same as Bean, really. That's saying the one that takes more work is the one you seem to love more.
Mm-hmm. But not the one that's the most trouble, just the one that needs the most help. At least that was the case in my family. My brother wasn't trouble. He just needed direction. You know what I mean? He needed help. Mm. All right, Sharon, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. What about a favorite kid? That's the topic, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're talking about, do you have a favorite child? You're a parent. We know that you love all your kids, but do you like one a little bit better than the other? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who do we decide to go to first here?
Jessica in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi,
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Great. What's your thought on this topic?
Favorite kid?
So I have two girls. I have a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old. And early on, my 17-year-old has been great. Like, even teenage years, no problem. And my 12-year-old, even at, like, 2 years old, 5 years old, both my husband and I would look at each other and say, why is she such an asshole? Like, she has been an asshole from like, minute one. And she's 12, and it's like, we still know, yep. And she might be a great adult, but she is going to be, she's such a tough person to parent. And I think it's just personality. Like, that's just who she is. And,
right.
You know.
Do you think calling her a major asshole on the air will help you or hinder you in that?
You know, some mornings it really helps because you just have to get it out. You just got to.
Jessica, we appreciate your honesty. Thank you very much for the call.
All right, a lot more honesty than I thought we were going to get with this topic.
Yeah, certainly more than we got from you, Kevin. Eddie, your friend, writes in, Father of Two checking in, having a favorite kid is okay, and I have one. Basically, my favorite is because she's old enough to be into all the cool stuff that I show her, if that makes sense. So that'll change, potentially, down the road. Perla writes in at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, my brother is the middle child, I'm the baby, and my sister is the oldest. My mom calls my brother Mitasora, which means my treasure. Which I'm sure makes all the other kids feel great.
Wow.
All right, let's get back to some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Which mom is in the car with her kids right now?
That's Caitlin.
Caitlin in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have four kids?
I do. I have four and under.
Ooh, holy cow.
And they're all in the car with you right now to hear this very honest conversation.
Yeah, they kind of know. The big one is 4 years old, and he's a troublemaker. But one of the twins is my favorite, my Brody. He's been my favorite since day one.
Okay, but what about the other twin? What's the other twin think about when you say that?
I don't know that he understands completely. They're three, but he's always like, "Oh, me too," and I'm like, "No."
Are you kidding?
But you're a terrible mother.
He's a little much. He's a screamer and stuff like that. So I think, you know, everyone, he's the cutest one. So I think everyone else loves on him. And Brody's my favorite.
Hey,
so
listen,
I keep Brody to myself.
Do they have headphones on right now so they can't hear this?
No, they're playing the quiet game. They're being really good.
That's the sad game is what they're playing. It's a tear game.
We have a sad mom game.
Sad, depressed. Game. It's all one thing, really.
Look, why don't you pull the van over and put the cute one just out on the side of the road. Let him take his chances with a new family.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I was kidding.
Caitlin!
What
Caitlin.
Is wrong with you people?
Thank you, Casey Anthony.
Thank you for the call. Lord. Chip, please put that in the file for Callers of the Year, would you?
Wow.
Okay. Let's go to Raul, shall we? Line three. He's up next, North Hollywood, on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, do you have a favorite child? Raul, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah. So I'm actually one of the children.
Okay.
I found out because I was looking through my mom's phone, and I was down as the other son.
The other son?
And, yeah. And when I looked in, I'm like, okay, well, what's my brother? So he's the favorite son.
She actually, in her phone.
She actually listed you that way?
Well, yeah, because she gets our names mixed up sometimes. Like, you know, parents, they'll call you by a different name by the other sons.
Absolutely.
So instead of when we call, she puts it down as my favorite son or the other son, so it's easily recognizable to her.
Bring this up with mom?
Did that hurt your feelings?
I'm like Bean. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. It makes it easier to put him in her home at the end. You know, it's like, go live with your favorite son.
So you're technically off the hook of looking after your mom. I gotcha.
This is a long con.
Yeah, it is.
He's fine with it now, but wait.
Wow.
All right. Thank you for the call. Wow.
You guys.
She listed him that way.
This is crazy.
All right. Let's try Jerry in Anaheim, please. Line six up next. You didn't think it could get any worse. It's about to.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello?
Welcome to Bad Parenting 101.
I don't think they're bad parents. Look, you can't help how you feel, Kevin.
Jerry.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you. No. We're on the... Yes, hello.
Oh,
what's happening?
I've been hearing you guys, and I saw you live at Cinco de Suapo years back. Loved you guys. Thought you were hilarious. But now that I grew up, I have two boys. One's my reward. The other is my freaking terror.
Wait, one of your boys is your reward, and the other is a freaking terror.
Yes, he's my payback from all the stuff I must have did when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jerry.
What's the problem?
Picture of an ultrasound flipping me off, defiant, argumentative,
yeah.
Everything. My wife calls his brothers instead of a father and son, and then the little one, he knows how to butter me up. He'll hug me, kiss me. The other one will flip me off, and he's going to give me my problems. He's been giving me problems in school. He's been giving me problems at home with other kids. Sometimes I'm afraid to take him out in public.
Is his name Damien? What is his?
No, I called him Damien, and he asked me, Dad, am I an accident? I go, no, you're like a bank robbery gone wrong.
Nice. That's a beautiful answer.
So much therapy happening in this family.
That's a beautiful answer.
Guys, we need to arrange a child swap among our listeners.
Right?
We have parents who can't stand one of their kids. They need to swap it with a terrible kid from another family. Maybe it'll work out better.
Let's do Stacy because she has what looks like a competition. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I am a mom of four.
Okay.
I've got 12 and 10-year-old girls and then twin 6-year-old boys. And I always joke around with them that every day is a clean slate for who is mom's least favorite kid.
Oh! So every day is a competition amongst the four of them.
Simple, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's like a clear winner at the end of the day. Like, I think someone pulled something off awesome at 10 a.m., and I'm like, yeah, least favorite kid for sure. And then by the time we get to 2:30, 3 o'clock, we've had 3-4 upsets.
Stacey, your kids are living in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I've never been happier to be an only child.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Tremendous director and Academy Award nominated actor, Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe winner, Hollywood Walk of Fame recipient, and has spent the last almost 20 years entertaining thousands of uniformed men and women around this country with his lieutenant band. Dan Band, we welcome Gary Sinise back to the Kevin Bean Show. Mr. Sinise, how are you, sir? Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's our pleasure. Listen, we got some old business we have to take care of you first. We just had a riveting half hour with our listeners calling in about whether or not they have a favorite kid. Now, you're a man with a bunch of children. Be honest, Gary. Do you have a favorite?
I would never put myself in that position.
Smart.
Are you kidding?
Are listeners not that smart?
Yes. They were throwing their kids under the bus, Gary. They had no qualms about saying it in person. So you have an answer. You're just not going to share it.
I got three great ones. I love them all. And that two grandchildren.
No.
Oh, so you have a favorite grandkid.
Yeah, do you like
saying
one of those better than the other? Listen, we have Gary on for a couple of reasons. One is, and we'll start this one out first, because it's happening this weekend, Saturday, April 13th at 4 p.m. at the California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks. You are bringing the Lieutenant Dan Band for a very special Ventura County appearance. What's going on, Gary?
Yes, I live up in this community, and as we all know, last November we just got whacked here with the terrible shooting, and then, you know, 24 hours, within 24 hours, the hills are burning, and
yeah,
our first responders are racing from here to there, barely enough time to react to what happened at Borderline, and I just wanted to do something here to show support to the community. So I asked the university here in Thousand Oaks, Cal Lutheran, if they would let me use the football stadium. And they provided the football stadium so we could do a free concert. My foundation does these kinds of things around the country. I did one after the terrible shooting at Fort Hood, Texas, back in 2009, and after the Navy Yard shooting in D.C., and just reaching out to try to provide some joy and lift some spirits. And so we're going to do that here. And all the information is at GarySiniseFoundation.org. We even, it's a free concert, but we're asking people to register if you think you're coming, RSVP there, so we can get a fix on how many people are coming. But they can fit about 10,000 people into the stadium. And then, also my buddy John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, they're going to play that night as well as my band.
That's cool.
Nice.
You can RSVP for the show, the free show this Saturday at concertfordefenders.com. Now, this band that you play with, the Lieutenant Dan Band, you've done hundreds of shows. You have like 12, 13 people on stage with you, background singers, horn section. It's a big production, Gary.
It's a big band. Yeah, we played hundreds of shows. I started taking the band to play for the troops back in 2003 and just wanted to reach out after September 11th and support the men and women defending our country. So it turned into a massive full-time mission. We play many, many shows every year. We've been all over the world. We do fundraisers and spirit raisers, all kinds of things like that. The band is a program of the Gary Sinise Foundation. So much like when you donate to the USO and you know the USO provides entertainment with those funds, you can people donating to the Gary Sinise Foundation help us to provide morale-boosting entertainment to our first responders and to our military around the world. It's been a great mission.
It's fantastic because all of us feel the exact same way toward them, but you're actually doing something and thanking them, and I love that.
Well, I have a book out right now. It's called Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service, and it kind of tracks how I got into all this stuff from the early days in the theater when my focus was pretty much primarily on acting and directing, and then post-September 11th when we were attacked and our men and women started deploying, and I just wanted to reach out, so I kind of branched out into a kind of a broader service mission. It's been an interesting journey, and I tell some pretty good stories in the book.
I get the impression you spend more time on the foundation than you do on trying to get acting work these days. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I must say there's a chapter in my book called Perfect Timing, and it kind of talks about CSI New York. And when I got that part in 2004, I was very, very busy with military support, and all of a sudden I was blessed to receive this role on television. The series lasted for 9 years. It gave me a lot of security, a lot of stability, and a lot of ability to do some very, very good things. And one of those was to create a foundation that could serve and honor the needs of our defenders. And having been all over the world, having seen our troops in hospitals and war zones and battle spaces all over the world, I've learned quite a bit, and I have great respect for them and just want to help them. And what happened here in Thousand Oaks with Sergeant Helis losing his life at borderline, those families being affected, mm-hmm. our first responders racing here and there trying to evacuate people and everything, I wanted to do something to help, so we're going to raise some spirits on Saturday night out here.
And Gary, as someone that has done these all over the country, I'm from the Thousand Oaks area, so when this happened, it hit me harder than the other ones, which is not to say that other lives don't matter as much, but did you feel a stronger connection to this?
Well, of course, you see these types of things happen around the country in different places, and you don't expect it to happen here. Fires,
right.
We kind of expect that we're going to deal with fires every year.
Mm-hmm.
A shooting like that, we just, no community in the country ever expects it to happen to them. And
yeah.
when it does, it really rocks you.
Yeah.
And so, and these fires, these fires were
insane.
Just in all my years of living out here, I've seen a lot of fires, but nothing like that.
Yeah. And we're seeing a lot of once in a thousand year type events happening on the earth these days. The event is this Saturday at the California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks. It starts at 4 p.m. with Lieutenant Dan Bannon, also Five for Fighting. It's free, again, and open to the public. You can RSVP at concertfordefenders.com. And the book is available wherever you get yours, called Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service. Gary, I know you hear from so many thousands of people throughout the year who, shake your hand and tell you thank you for the service that you do giving back, and especially to wounded veterans. My father was, he's passed recently, but he was a lifelong military man in the Navy. You were his absolute favorite actor. I think you were the only search he had on his DVR was to make sure to record anytime Gary Sinise was on the TV. He loved you that much, and I'm happy that I'm able to tell you that in person.
Thank you for telling me that, and God bless your dad.
You bet. Have a great time on Saturday, and we'll put out this information on all the Kevin Amin social media for people who want to come on by and have a great show. And the band is really good, and for a white man, Gary is very funky on the bass. I'm telling you what, you'll have a great time. Thank you, Mr. Sinise. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much. You bet. Have a good day.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
If we have enough altitude to get us off the boat, Allie, why don't you bring it home? Time for a final look at what's happening today.
I would love to. So you guys know the new Morrissey album is coming out May 24th. It's California Sun.
I have not been this excited about a Morrissey album in a long time.
And it's all covers.
I guess that's why.
Right? That's why you're pumped. I love it. Well, you had played for us the Roy Orbison cover of It's Over, and it sounded lovely.
Great.
Well, he has kicked off this week by releasing a cover of the Fifth Dimension song, Wedding Bell Blues, and see if you can hear a couple people providing backing vocals, Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong and The Regrets' Lydia Knight.
I was the one who came running when you were alone.
When you were alone.
I have not lived one day not loving you all.
Why?
What just happened?
Why is this happening?
Honestly, that was a bop to me.
Look, I love it, but it's there. He's doing for the most part 1960s songs, and he's doing them in a 1960s style with 1960s sounding production. Like, what's the point of it?
I don't know, but
Joy,
I,
Bean. Why
I
do you hate Joy?
Hate it.
I love it.
And
I just can't understand it as a career move.
I just recognize...
Oh, you think Morrissey is known for his career moves?
Right. I recognize that from My Girl. Remember? She was singing that.
In the movie My Girl?
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin?
Teacher's name was Bill.
Yeah, I don't...
All right, just me. Just I don't know.
It's a bizarre thing that he's doing.
It is bizarre. And it's just it's insane, the tracks that he has on this album that comes out on May 24th. But, I mean, Joni Mitchell songs, Fifth Dimension that we just heard, a song by Dionne Warwick, Carly Simon. He is covering some really odd tunes. And yeah. I'm here for it.
I'm going to listen to it while eating meat.
Oh, that'll show him for sure. So Marvel's Avengers have assembled to support a $5 million donation to benefit sick kids around the world. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Paul Rudd, and Brie Larson were on hand Friday to unveil the massive donation of Marvel money and different toys to different charities at children's hospitals at Disney Resort. So Disney donated $1 million to Starlight Children's Foundation, which brings fun and education to kids with chronic illnesses around the world. And then the Lego Group, Hasbro, Funko, and Amazon came together to donate more than $4 million to children's hospitals in the United States. And then after announcing the donations, the Avengers Endgame, that's Johansson, Renner, Rudd, Hemsworth, they visited kids at a local Boys and Girls Club.
That's pretty cool.
That lovely.
Must blow their minds.
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing them walk in? It's huge. Well, we saw on Saturday, Coachella tweeting out, due to major production delays, Solange will unfortunately no longer be performing at this year's festival.
What's going on?
Well, she sends her sincerest apologies and looks forward to performing at Coachella in the future. Do they have someone else? What do they do for that?
I don't know what they do for that.
Yeah.
Do they need to replace her? No. I mean, I think if you lose a headliner, you kind of have to come up with somebody. But if you lose someone further down the bill, I think you just go, well, schedules are subject to change. They probably have that on the ticket.
Well, it's time for Limp Bizkit. And then they call Fred Durst and Wes and everybody meets
up.
Huge.
Well, we know that her sister had to bail out of 2017's Coachella because, you know, she got all pregnant and stuff.
What's going on?
Well,
she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. So she did come back last year and performed. And it was probably, I would think, the most talked about Coachella performance ever, right?
That was amazing. Considered an all-timer, yeah.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Well, Beyonce has just announced that she's teaming up with Netflix to bring fans a film inspired by that 2018 Coachella performance. The film is titled Homecoming. It will premiere on April 17th and use her college-themed performance last year as a focal point.
Okay. All right.
Odd, but...
Yeah, we're talking Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah, but okay.
No choice.
Homecoming will feature not only the performance, but it's speculated that the Netflix doc will also include a bunch of unseen footage of Beyonce that led up to it. Again, on Netflix. Thank you, Bean. Thank you for that. I'm pretty excited.
Me too.
Right?
I love that behind-the-scenes stuff.
And by the way, Lemonade is a movie, you know, she made videos for all the songs on that album that I still go back and watch from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a movie. It wasn't like a one-time, oh, I've seen the video, now I'm moving on, I'm done. It's so brilliant, I still go back and watch that every few months.
Do you think that she just sings from such a place that is relatable to you as a...
As a black woman?
Right.
Yeah, I do. I think we're two peas in a pod. I don't really listen to women.
Okay,
that guy needs to pipe down.
I mean, what's it going to be? Do you guys ever feel like there's just not enough time in a day to do all the things you have to do?
Amen.
A new survey found that the average American has just 4 hours and 26 minutes of free time each week. That's 4 hours and 26 minutes to get everything done. That's cleaning, car maintenance, shopping, medical checkups, all of that. That's why so many of us always say there's just not enough time in the day. And a poll found that with so little free time, the average person has 14 undone items on their to-do list. That's awful.
I mean, it's not great.
How do we make this stop?
You care less about your to-do list.
Yeah.
That's what works for me.
I kind of just assume... With having a kid, I'm never going to have free time.
No, ever. Yeah.
I'll just have a car filled with dirt. Had tires to roof.
Right?
Yeah.
And just like a random fry every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Fries from 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Allie, do you mind if I break in with some breaking news?
Oh, please.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
I thank Dave for pointing this out.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Just announced from...
This is London calling.
Oh.
Here is a new flash.
This is from BBC America. Mm-hmm. They have renewed Killing Eve for season 3.
Yes! Yes!
I mean, was that really up in the air, guys?
Season 2 has been so good.
It just started last night.
What?
It started last night.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Less than 12 hours ago. Yeah. But still, I guess I love
that show so much.
It's the best. It was the best show last year, I think.
For sure. I think so, too.
I really do.
That and Barry. I mean, Sunday night, we've got Veep. We've got Barry. Yeah. We have got Killing Eve.
Yeah.
It's a great night.
Some of us also have Billions. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Billions. Good Girls. I mean, Sunday night is a powerhouse.
Into the Badlands, am I right, on Mondays?
Right.
Who's with me?
No, because we're talking Sundays. Oh, yeah. But all right.
Going to sleep at 7:30, who's with me?
Nerd.
Anyone with me? No?
No.
So you only see the first story on 60 Minutes, and then you're out.
Yes, if it's not top billing, I don't know it existed.
Do you really go to bed that early on Sunday?
I get about 8:30, yeah.
Okay.
About getting ready at about 7:30, though.
Right.
Starting the descent.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Descent.
The descent.
How long does it take you to get ready?
Take your time.
4 hours. What are you doing?
You got all the time in the world.
Do you sleep in a tube? What's going on here? Yeah.
Got to get the whole mummified thing on. You just got to wrap me around, and then she's got to add the herbs.
Well, I shoot for 8:30 also, by the way. I think that's a reasonable hour.
Is Donna wrapping you in herbs?
And mummified too.
No, that's not happening.
It's a valid question.
Kevin.
Yeah.
We work with weirdos. All right. Some birthdays for you. Taylor Kitsch, Patricia Arquette, Robin Wright, Ezra Koenig, Matt Healy, also known as Maddie Healy, right? 1975.
Sure. What's going on?
It's Wednesday. Going to be big, big deal. Pop-up show. Who's going?
Still doing that.
Is that how we answer?
Still bringing horses around.
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellen. Your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with Florida? We need your help. Who do you tip? Who gets a tip and who doesn't get a tip?
Just a tip?
Exactly. And how much tip?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's been bothering me.
So we're going to need your
help.
Hasn't
been bothering you much. You have a baby on the way.
Listen.
Okay.
I'm just going to let it sit.
Yeah. And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness as well as Coachella tomorrow morning.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
That would be spanking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.